All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Fan podcast. And it's a bit of a double ender this week. we're going to chat with somebody before I introduce them. And me and Chris are going to do another hour or so at the other side. This is episode 194. Format is simple. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows per month. Members get full podcast plus download. So please don't ask where the second part is. And non-members get part one. I've only been doing this for what, 4 years, Chris? All new shows are released on Saturdays. That's Saturdays, not Sundays or Mondays, just Saturdays. Podcasts are always on sheepfan.co.uk. And we also put part one on Podomatic, and they ship them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google, Apple. They also go on Odyssey and Rumble, although they're a bit of a pain in the ass, I've got to say, loading them on there. The one show, right, you've got to load it on as a... It takes more or less all day to load up onto there. Just a pain in the backside. I am trying to put them on our second YouTube channel as well, we've got. And I'll put that link. All the links will be in there. Whether this goes on there, I don't know. Again, I just can't be bothered with YouTube or any of these other places. But we have got some stuff that will be able to go on YouTube. Also, all the videos from 2021 and onwards up to today are all on Odyssey because they automatically come over from YouTube. Right. Apart from the longer stuff, like the live ones and stuff, some of them don't come over. Don't know why. Just get lost in the mire. Last week's show with Johnny, we had a great chat with Johnny. Some interesting comments, I've got to say, but... you what, mate?
No, I'm just going to say it was one of them. Yeah, the people crying out that he's a shill, etc.
We've been called that. I don't think you've arrived if you haven't got a big shill mic.
Yeah, I really like Johnny. I like chatting to him.
Yeah, I do as well. Yeah. I do.
If he is an MI6,
he's very good. You're very good, Johnny.
well, I mean, he didn't say anything I disagree with.
No,
I don't know.
That's how they draw you in, Chris.
You know what? We might say, let's say, for instance, we've introduced, as people say, you know, 10 shills. What difference does it make? Has anyone changed your mind on anything?
No, nothing,
you know, we've had a lot of interesting information.
You've changed my mind, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. But he didn't. What minute. I mean is, they've not led us in a direction that we didn't want to go in.
Where did you go in 1991? In May?
When I vanished to London for 9
months.
For
6 months.
From training.
GCHQ, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just working in a shitty hotel in London.
Yeah. Dodging IRA bombs.
Do you know, let me just say this. A shout out to Lawrence in Tokyo from your brother Matt in London. My mate Micah gave me that. And he's someone.
How long ago?
About 3 months ago.
Oh, right.
No, not actually that long ago.
You did it really
ago.
Quick then.
No. I tell a lie. It's not that long ago. He told me about it months ago, and I pinned it on my wall here, but we've been doing interviews, so I had no chance to say it. And it's a shout out to Lawrence in Tokyo, who's a listener to Sheep Farm, and his brother Matt lives in London. It's my mate, Mikey's mate. So, sorry it took so long, but there you go. I'd love to go to Japan, Tokyo.
Yeah. Well, apparently last week, the volume levels, Johnny, were a bit low. I mean, it sounded fine on our end, didn't it? Didn't sound that.
It might have been a bit. I don't know.
It was a bit low. I listened back. I had a quick listen back, but it sounded fine on our end. And generally, you can tell there's either interference with the connection, for argument's sake, with somebody you're having a chat with, or
I had a bit of interference on my headphones. I might not.
Well, that means.
I don't know. There was a hissing. I don't know. I thought it was massive.
I give you one there. I lined you up with one.
I'm not as malicious as you.
Yeah, is that what it is? You're a bit more sensitive.
Yeah. Well, I'm a limp-wristed party fucker.
Half chat fucker.
Limp-wristed half chat arty farty fucker.
Yeah.
Can't say half chat fatty. You can't say that.
Yeah. Rubber-lipped fucker. How about that one? What else are we going to say? Apparently, we interrupt our guests too much. We need to be more professional, somebody said. Right. So as well as being shills, working for MI6, Masons, etc., we're now not professional enough.
Well, it's quite difficult sometimes because you've not spoken to some people before and you don't know when their pause is, do you? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or if they're going to continue, or I'm probably worse for it.
But also, Chris, right? It says it in the title. Dom and Chris chat with. It's not an interview. we're having a chat. When you're around a pub or somewhere you're talking to your mates, you do talk over the top of each other. You have a conversation, don't you?
Well, it's difficult. Like I said, there's three people, and it's quite difficult sometimes because you're trying to get an inkling as to when there's going to be a pause if you've got something to say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I've got
we're
some
not professionals.
Well, we're not professionals. It's not BBC. You like the sound levels. We're not BBC, thankfully.
At least we don't lie. Not the BBC. The downside is we might overtalk each other. The upside is we're not a set of lying bastards.
Yeah. We're interrupting with our childish sense of humour.
That's probably you, actually.
Right. Probably is. I hope it is.
I hope
I really pissed that person off.
I don't know. We're not perfect, and
there's a simple answer to it. Don't listen.
That's reactionary, Dom.
No, that's a simple answer. Because if I don't like something, guess what I don't do?
Well, I mean, to be fair, that goes back into that conversation, doesn't it? About who's a this and who's a that, and they think they're this or that, and it's something that we've talked about a bit, not so much on here, but you do notice this, and it's definitely orchestrated. You do notice this stuff more and more. We don't listen to that much stuff, but so-and-so said this. It gets a bit, if people don't agree with everything someone says, then they must be a whatever, shill or an
working
insider.
For somebody else.
No one agrees with everything.
I think you've got to get there's a moral playing field. Then there's the other stuff on top, and if you agree with the moral playing field, right, you're a fundamentalist.
I'm going through this weird phase of I've got this thing where I ask people what they watch, late at night. Mm. It's like a little test, because everyone watches a bit of YouTube, don't they?
Yeah.
And I've been watching lately those crazy pastors, the ones in America.
Yeah, but that's not good turning to religion, is it? You're looking at them for a different reason, that.
Yeah, but I do find it absolutely fascinating. I've watched an unhealthy amount. I went through the same thing with NASA watching space videos years ago.
Yeah.
I go through these phases where I get a bit... Well, I suppose we're all obsessives in this game, aren't we? But watching those pastors, and they're just absolutely full of crap. I find it amazing. But what I was going to say is, a good thing to do with someone, right? I'll do this at work. I go, late at night when you're watching, if you watch a bit of YouTube, not in a conspiratorial way, what do you watch? People come out with the weirdest stuff. Someone said they watch alligators attacking people. Someone else says they watch engineering videos of engineering stuff. Yeah. And then this one girl said, "What do you watch then?" Because the other guy I work with, he watches me do this to people, and she wouldn't crack anything open. No, not really. I've watched a few box sets. Oh, really? What are you into? You must watch. I like Vikings. Right. I can't work in a restaurant. I love Vikings, and you just crack someone and they start telling you all the stuff that we watch.
But yeah,
so another guy who said he liked watching people jump off bridges,
right? Well, literally, or bungee jumping.
No dark bridges,
right?
Yeah,
when we were in Croatia, they built this massive single span bridge, and there's this thing that sticks out with a thing on it where people bungee jump. You go and pay to bungee jump off it. Hundreds of feet up, and I'm thinking...
You could not pay me to do that.
No money on earth would pay me enough to go and do with an elastic band stuck to my legs to do that.
No, I don't like heights as it is. In fact, you wouldn't even get me up there, I don't think.
No, I think I tried dangling you by your ankles once.
I used to be fearless when I was a kid. As I've got older, I don't like heights, don't like flying.
No.
I'm not scared of anything except heights, I think. It's about the biggest fear.
Your wife?
I'm not scared.
Child?
Not
child?
Scared. Oh, yeah. I suppose I'm scared of my entire family, except you.
I'm doing a right good job with bullying scenario, have
I? Oh, crap.
Yeah. You can join us on Instagram as well. You can direct message Chris.
This
will give him something to do, keep him occupied.
I'm not massively active on
you
it.
You are. You're a social media whore.
I want once or two. But again, I keep bringing this up. It's actually quite amusing to see, right? I think we've got about 1,000 and odd people watches, and it stayed at the same number. And then we get a few more following, and the number stays the same.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's interesting, but it's bizarre.
Fortunately for us, I've got no interest in how many people listen.
No, or how many people follow us on Instagram.
I know we've had some. Well, if you do this, you get more followers. If you do that, you get more followers. I don't want any more.
Don't care.
I haven't got in it to get followers. I've got no interest in how many followers. I don't even know how many followers.
But it's interesting though, right? I'm just looking now. We've got 1,035 on Instagram, right? And then if I look in like the other section, I'm not very good on this stuff. Three people, and it was only, it's been on 1, 3, 5
for ages. You know why, Chris? Because it's compartmentalised.
It's compartmentalised. In the last few days, three people have started following us, but it hasn't gone up. How does that work? Not that I care, but it's just, and then people, you got people follow us and then it didn't move.
Ring the robots up in Instagram.
Been cancelled. Yeah. Been cancelled.
I think we got cancelled a while ago, Chris. School, probably. Yeah, shadow band. I went to a talk the other day, actually, over in St. Helens. Thank Elizabeth and John, her husband, I think it was. They had it there. They actually had it at their house. Lovely place, lovely gardens. Marco had doing a talk there, so I drove over. There were a few people there. I don't know how many people there, between 50 and 100 anyway. Mark did a really good talk, as usual. Spoke for literally hours with no notes.
That's what amazing.
How does he do that?
He's been because he's a Masonic shield. He's been MKUltra.
He's a Manchurian, a conspiracy Manchurian candidate.
If you watch closely, his eyes roll into the back of his head when he starts. just comes out with it.
Yeah, we all are. I mean, you can't pick a mic up unless it's a shill mic. We should have a new brand of mics, shouldn't we? Big shill mics. And you could use them on your bullshit platform. And that's about it. So our guest today, who I'm going to introduce, is someone people have been emailing in to get on, and I've been trying to get her on for quite a while, actually, because she's from she lives in Huddersfield. I think she actually came from Cheshire originally, but we'll get all that Jen when she comes on. It's Miri AF or Miri Finch. So I hope you enjoy that. Until then,
No, I was just going to say, I've not listened to anything of Miri Finch's.
Yeah, she writes on Substack as well.
Right.
So we will see you on... Sometimes. Yeah, I hope you enjoy that chat, and then we'll see you on the other side.
Sorry,
for part
keep interrupting.
Two. Yeah, thanks.
What were you going to say?
anyway. Okay, we'll see you on the other side in part two.
See you back.
All right, welcome to this Sheep Farm podcast. It's episode 194, as you know, that got with the intro. And today we're joined with Miri AF, the well-known Miri AF now, a lot of us are over the last 4 years for jumping up and down for the restrictions that we've been under. And I'm sure we were into that way before then, but certainly over the last 4 years. And it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter, is the freedom of speech. I'm sure we'll speak about that as well. Welcome, Miri.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Hi, Miri. Nice to meet you.
Hi there, Chris. Nice to meet you too.
Yeah. So you actually live in Huddersfield, don't you?
Yeah.
Where are you originally from then, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm originally from Stoke, a small village in Stoke called Keel. My dad lectured at the university there, so I grew up there. I've moved around the country quite a bit. I worked in London for a while, but... I married a guy from Oldham, and he got a job in Huddersfield. So we moved to Huddersfield about 5 years ago.
Right. Centre of the universe.
Yes.
How are you finding it, Miri? Do you like Huddersfield?
I really do like it a lot, actually. Yeah. I think it's the perfect kind of combination of country and city. Like, we've got all the amenities. We've got, you know, good restaurants, bars, shops. But also everywhere you look, you can see hills. So what could be better?
Yeah. I don't live in Huddersfield, but I do miss the hills a little bit.
Right.
I noticed you didn't say she liked the weather. It was 5 degrees this morning here.
Was it?
5 degrees. Yeah. That's just above freezing. Basically, isn't it? 5 degrees. It's just mid-September, I suppose we're in now. Just for now, 5 degrees. Got it to come out with for the next 9 months.
Whereabouts are you in Huddersfield, Mary, if you don't mind asking?
Crossland Moor.
Crossland Moor.
Right. Our mum were born in Crossland Moor.
That's right, yeah.
We're actually got roots in Crossland Moor. Yeah. Our grandma were from Crossland Moor.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Across from St. Luke's. We didn't go into St. Luke's. It's not there now, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
there was a mental institution.
There was a mental institution across St. Luke's Hospital.
Oh, I know what you mean. They knocked it down and they've got housing development there now.
Yeah.
That's really near me, yeah.
Yeah. I used to work at Standard Fireworks just up the road. It's going back into the 80s there now.
Oh, wow.
When I still had air.
Right.
Well, one anyway.
Whereabouts are you now?
In Halifax, up
are
on
you in
tops.
Halifax?
Yeah,
right.
Near Scammonden.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, right on tops. That's why it was 5 degrees.
Ah, got you.
Yeah, yeah. Nearly Diana Ross weather.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, terrible, but we have to crack them. Okay, where do we start? Whoa. How did he get into this stuff? It's a question everybody asks us anyway. So.
Yeah, of course. Initially through vaccines.
Right.
So my initial interest and my real kind of sole so-called conspiracy interest was vaccines for a number of years. And the first public resource I launched was in 2015. It was called a STRIVE, which was an acronym for Student and Teacher Research Initiative for Vaccine Education. And the reason I launched this is I'd studied abroad in the USA. And before I went, they did ask for my childhood vaccination records. And I had all the normal, so-called normal jabs that children have. So I sent them off. And they let me in. That was all fine. But I'd been enrolled for a few weeks. And I got a really kind of ominous email from the health centre in all caps saying, no, you know, there's a very serious medical matter and I had to report to them immediately. So I was thinking, oh, my God, you know, they diagnosed me with some terrible disease. Anyway, I went along and they said, there's this awful anomaly in your vaccine records. You've only had one measles vaccine and you need to have two. And I said, well, why do I need to have two? You know, I have had this one. I've never had measles. Maybe the vaccine worked. I don't want another one. And they said, we require you to have two. And if you don't have another one, we'll kick you out of the university. And because I was there on a student visa, if they kicked me out of the university, I would have also been deported. So I thought, this seems really draconian for a disease that isn't very serious, that I've already had a vaccine for, you know, what's really going on? So I really started digging into vaccines at that point and, you know, not liking what I found. So I had an argument with the medical center where I said, look, all the vaccine can do is produce antibody titers. So if you give me a blood test and I've already got antibody titers, then you'll have to agree I don't need another vaccine. And they said to me, and this really set alarm bells ringing, they said, you know, it would be easier just to have the vaccine. And I thought, when is it easier to have a risky, invasive, unnecessary medical procedure than just to get a simple blood test? So, I said, absolutely not. I want this blood test, which they made me pay for, whereas they would have given me the vaccine free. And they reluctantly said, yes, I already had these titers, so okay, they weren't going to deport me. But, you know, that was such a kind of frightening episode. And I was a few years older than the average student when I went to university, so I was able to be more assertive. And I thought an 18-year-old would really struggle with this and would really be likely to crumble. So looking at the vaccine resources that were available, so a lot of them were aimed at parents of, you know, small children, but there was very little available for young adults who would be making their own vaccine decisions for the first time. So I started this resource aimed at students from 16 to 24, you know, going through all the vaccines they might be offered at college and at university and, you know, telling them the facts and, you know, ultimately concluding you don't need any of these. But, you know, I wasn't telling them you must not get vaccinated. I was just saying, here are the facts. You know, please make your own mind up.
Yeah. And I had a call this week from a mate of mine. He's a youngster, I think he's three. They're trying to get him to have all the jabs. He's not with the mother anymore, so there's a bit of a battle on his hands. And he's absolutely terrorised by this because he's got no real say in it.
He can kick
and scream and what have you. But obviously, he started preschool now, so the nurse is on to the mother to get him jabbed. The mother's saying, well, I don't want to get him jabbed because my other half don't want him, or my ex don't want him jabbed. So now they're putting pressure on her.
Right.
It's a lot of stress because I've got a 6-year-old.
But to the really point, Chris, to the point, the nurse has said they're going to call him from school. Yeah.
Why are they so desperate to get it?
Well, we know
why. It's 23 jabs a kid has in England now. God knows what it is in America.
30-odd?
No, I think it's 23 before in the first year.
Yeah, yeah, because they're all the multi-shots, aren't they?
Yeah.
In fact, I've got it on the screen here, I saved it all.
It gets it down to about 13 or 14 actual jabs, but there's 23 different solutions in there.
Yeah, it's up to 2-year-old when 30-odd jabs.
Yeah, they keep going, but that's just the first year of life.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it in America? Do you know, Mary? Blooming heck, it's...
I believe that by the age of 18, they've had 74.
74?
I think so.
And you could argue they're all pointless.
You could
argue. In fact, Chris, it's more than that, because it's they've now brought it forward, haven't they? Probably since this were young, because now it's up, they do them 4 weeks, I think 8, 12 weeks and 16 weeks, something like that. Mm. Now they brought it because everyone, they don't sort of give you time to change your mind. I don't think that's what they're trying to do, aren't they? They're trying to force you into a corner where you're pressured to have these things.
I was in hospital the other week, only with an infection in my hand, but I was in A&E. And every kid that came in, they had the red book with them. And when they went up, said, "Are they up to date with all the vaccinations?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." It's horrible. I mean, I there's no chance my nip was going to get in it. But it still stressed me out, you know.
Well, it's still stressful, yeah.
So much pressure on you. So much, you know. We took Sis to the hospital in the middle of the night. She got whooping cough, or what was it called? Pertussis, what is it called?
Yeah.
And the ward, it was in the middle of the night, the ward was full of kids. All with what sounded like whooping cough, but they just relabeled it as, what is it?
Pertussis.
Pertussis, that's it. Relabeled it out. And the nurse said, "Is she fully vaccinated?" And we said, "No." In fact, my missus did. She had a go at me for not saying it. But we said, "No." And the nurse said, "Well, expect to be coming back here quite a lot then." With proper venom as well. No, and yeah, I mean, I think she was a doctor, so maybe she had a GP practice in it, maybe financially. I don't know, but she looked quite angry at us.
What sort of response? So you were doing this at the university in America.
I didn't launch the site when I was at the university. That I did. I launched the site when I came back to the UK. What actually happened is I was trying to find people who were also skeptical about vaccines that I could connect with. And I, you know, really struggled with that. As for most people, when I started to become so-called awake, you know, I lost a lot of my friends who thought I was going mad. you know, most of them, yeah. I was looking to try and find other connections. And I found, which is a really, you know, strange kind of synchronicity, that the leading expert on aluminium toxicology, obviously aluminium being a major component of many vaccines and responsible for a lot of the adverse reactions, actually worked on the same university campus where I'd grown up, which I'd had no idea about until, you know, I'd grown up and left home. And he'd been there since I was like 10. So I contacted him, and he and I had never met, but he knew my family, you know, and he invited me to come to his office and have a chat. And this was Professor Chris Exley.
I've heard of him. Yes. Yeah, I have. Yeah. Come across him. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a long chat, and I said to him, you know, there don't seem to be many vaccine resources for young people. They all seem to be kind of aimed at parents. And he said, "Well, why don't you create your own?" So he inspired me with this idea to make my first website.
Wow.
And then he put me in touch with some people who got in touch with him because they had concerns about vaccines, you know, mainly parents of injured children. And that is how I began to build a network of, you know, other conspiracy theorists. one of a better
evil anti-vaxxers.
For about 5 years, from 2015 to 2020, that was really what I was focused on, was vaccines. And I was certainly aware there were all sorts of other skullduggery going on, but it wasn't really my focus until the fake pandemic.
Yeah.
And that's when I branched out, and that's when I started my own website, and that's when I started writing articles on various subjects.
So you would say that whatever started you off for that 5 years actually prepared you for 2020? And I would, I mean, yeah. Vaccines were a big part of my research early on, going back, because I reckon I were injured in the mid-2000s, hence why Lyme disease started. I had some travel jabs, like an idiot, going to Thailand with my wife. And it coincides both of us really having the same symptoms. And so I started looking into jabs, and my youngest never got jabbed, and then led Chris on to doing that score as well. And your site's probably saved or helped. You won't be able to I don't think you'd be able to calculate how many people it's helped.
Well, let's hope so. Yes, unfortunately, that initial site is now offline because the web providers I did it with went out of business, and so it's offline. But you can still find it on the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, yeah. But the resources are there.
Sniffer at straight away with COVID, Mira.
Yeah. So, funnily enough, I sort of, not completely accurately, but I sort of predicted it in April 2019. I watched Contagion.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought, oh my God, you know that they they do their whole revelation of the method and they have to tell us what they're doing. I wrote a Facebook post saying, I think that they're telling that this is coming, that there's going to be a so-called pandemic, but you know it's going to be fake. And it's going to scare a lot of people into taking an injection. And the real poison is going to be in the injection. And I think that's what they're going to do. And I said, I hope that this is just an example of me being a crazy conspiracy theorist. But I think they've made this film for a reason. And I think they're telling us something. And then less than a year later, there was the fake plague. So as soon as it arrived, I thought, all right, okay, here it is. This is what they're doing. So, yeah, it was very obviously fake from the start. But absolutely, as you said, you know, looking into vaccines for several years beforehand gives you real insight into just how much they lie and, you know, just how evil the whole kind of vaccine model is.
Yeah. And I similar to me, I was sort of studying Bill Gates because obviously all roads when you get to vaccines end up leading at some point to Bill Gates. And in the mid-2010s, if you like, I started looking into Bill Gates and realised there was something coming with vaccines. I didn't know when. I can't say, like you said, you don't know when it's going to happen, but you knew the health attack, it was going to be about health because it weren't going to be a war as a conventional war. It was going to be more a health war because that's what they were talking. And they were practicing in Africa and places like that and destroying villages with whatever jabs they wanted to test on them.
Yeah.
The same characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bill Gates has told us, hasn't he, that, you know, if he does a really good job with vaccines, he can lower the population by 15%.
He didn't mean that, though, apparently.
I know that's what he said. I know.
What did he mean then?
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, if you say I'm going to lower the population by 15%, what else can you mean than lowering the population by 15%?
You either mean you're going to kill people or you're going to sterilize them. I don't know if you saw one of Andrew Wakefield's recent films, Infertility, A Diabolical Agenda.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's really good. It's only half an hour. You can see it free online. And it was talking about what they did in Africa with the tetanus vaccine. And they sterilized loads of women with the tetanus vaccine. And there was an African doctor in it who said, you know, when they finish with Africa, they're coming for you. And months later, he supposedly died of COVID.
I have seen it, Merit. I do.
Yeah, yeah.
That. I have seen it. It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've brought out a Vax3, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, they're making it's coming out in a couple of days, I think, actually.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. I watched a lot of those. I don't know if you saw those when they went around America in a bus interviewing vaccine-damaged kids' parents, basically. I watched loads of them before my nipple was born just to reinforce everything. Because I thought, I'm not listening to anyone, but if you listen to a human
I'm not listening to Dom.
No, but you can take everyone's opinion.
Gosh, you can.
When you listen to a child, a parent whose child's been lost or hurt, I mean, it's quite harrowing, but I just thought it was very necessary. And I'd advise anyone who's got a new child to just to watch some of that stuff, even though it's horrible.
Yeah, I think you've got to. I mean, even the stuff from the HPV, you know, in Ireland, there were lots of people campaigning in Ireland about the HPV vaccine. And that's for teenagers. We're absolutely destroying people's lives. Nobody were listening.
See that the method when that HPV came out for girls, wasn't it, for cervical cancer. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, it also helps a rare neck cancer in boys. Boys can have it as well now. Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it makes you play football better. Oh, right, I'll have it then. Yeah, that's what they ought to say, that. It makes you play football better. All kids will have it then. when you look at... I started looking at the ingredients. At the time, you could get hold of the ingredients and it were a lot easier. Now they're making it a little bit more difficult. If you go on EMC Squared, you can get a lot of the ingredients on there, but I've noticed over the years that they've changed the ingredient lists, because what they've done is they've brought in laws that for mercury, if it was, let's say it were 0.5 microgram of mercury in there, and the law says you don't have to state anything if it's 0.4, so they just lower it by 0.1 and it'd be under the line.
Funnily enough, I was watching
the name.
I was watching a podcast today, and there was a woman saying that. She was saying, you two probably know this, but for instance, they used peanut oil, but they just relabeled it. I think it was something 68, but it was peanut oil, hence the peanut allergies, and they're using soya, hence the soy allergies, and milk. And this woman was saying, this doctor, she was saying, you can drink it. She was saying you can even drink, because your gut's so powerful, you can even drink like snake venom. And you'll be all right, you know. And she said, don't do it. But if once it's put into your blood system, it creates it something else. You probably know this, but she was saying peanut oil. That's why we've got all these allergies as well. Milk allergies, peanut,
yeah,
soya.
100%.
I mean, injects you straight into your bloodstream. Yeah. It's a protein straight into your bloodstream.
Yeah. So where are you now with the, we won't talk about COVID jabs just yet, but the other jabs now, are you doing a lot of work? Are you still working on that side of it? Are you doing any?
A bit. So as well as my Miri AF website, where I just kind of do social commentary, I suppose you'd call it, I've also got another website, Informed Consent Matters. So Informed Consent Matters was set up, I think it was in 2021 or 2022. And it was supposed to be a bit of a bridge between not people who were not fully fledged conspiracy theorists, but were smelling a rat and starting to ask some questions about COVID generally and COVID vaccines in particular. So Informed Consent Matters was designed to be written in a non-conspiratorial, you know, non-sensationalist style to try and say, you know, your concerns are legitimate. You're not a crazy loon for having these suspicions. I did a big thing on the COVID vaccines and, why they're particularly dangerous and, you know, why they're not developed in the same way as other vaccines. And since then, Informed Consent Matters has kind of evolved and it's got a section on the MMR, the flu vaccine and various other information resources. So I'm definitely still very interested in that. But at the moment, there doesn't seem to be too much public focus on, you know, health and vaccines. So I'm not doing much with Informed Consent Matters currently, but I do strongly suspect, you know, they're going to push another fake pandemic and more, you know, maybe it's going to be bird flu or monkeypox. So I'm glad I got that resource that when they start doing it again, you know, I'll have that platform to
you can't call it monkeypox now. That's racist, apparently. It's M-pox. M-N-M-pox. Yeah. Yeah. They keep changing the name, so it confuses everybody as well.
What about the flu tap, if you like, as we call it? But because my nipper keep, I take her out of school actually because she's only six. Well, I might let her go next time, but I told her not to let him spray anything near her, you know, because it's the flu mist. Yeah, so it just sounds a little bit more
like curly whirly.
What have you found out about the flu one, Mira?
Oh, it's terrible, as you correctly deduce. I actually had quite a long back and forth with Locala. You know, they're the team who administers the flu vaccine in Huddersfield schools. Right. And I wrote to them asking them, what do you actually know about this? You know, can you tell me what the absolute risk reduction is versus the relative risk reduction? And I asked them a load of questions and they went round the houses and referred me to this person and that person, but they couldn't ask any of the questions. And I said, you cannot be legally administering this because you are not getting informed consent. And the good thing was, although unfortunately they did go on and administer it, apparently the uptake was extraordinarily low, like lower than it's been for years and years and years. It's usually around 90-95%. And apparently in some schools it was as low as 50 or 60. So I think a lot of parents and students are really waking up to the flu vaccine.
Yeah. Probably from COVID, actually.
Really yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. You're probably, you know, they're just tired of listening about vaccines, aren't they? They've been tired out, vaxxed out. Really,
I mean, even if you're not a total nut job like us lot, you can see the financial dish out, can't you? That someone's making a buck every time one of those things is stuck on spray or sprayed into someone. Yeah. I mean, the flu one, I remember I was working in a cafe in Leeds actually back in 2010, I think it was. And you could see because there was a lot of old folk went in this cafe, and that was when they were ramping up that. Because it started off, if you're vulnerable, then it was everybody, and then it went to kids. you could see that pattern, and then everyone just forgets, don't they, that it was all for old people. No one ever died of the flu. Well, no one really died of the flu, but everyone just lines up and gets it.
Yeah, it's true. A friend of my dad's a lifelong GP, and he is pro-vaccine. But I asked him, I said, "What do you think about giving the flu vaccine to all children, you know, 4 to 16?" And he said, "It is absolutely ridiculous. This group does not need it at all." That's what he said.
Yeah.
They've never needed it, ever, ever. And I'd say the older end don't need it either.
No.
In answer to the GP, that is. I mean, my father-in-law's neighbour is a GP. He gave his dad, I think he got the 3-dart finish. I don't know if he got double tapped or 3-darted. But anyway, he had the COVID taps and he died of heart condition. And when my father-in-law asked him, "Do you think it were the jabs?" He went, "Oh no, he had an heart condition before that." Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the flu vaccine program for the elderly is obviously a euthanasia program, because you know, the biggest chunk of welfare spending is on pensions, and the government are therefore highly incentivized to cull the pensioners. And they've actually admitted this tacitly. There's an article in the mainstream press which says Flu vaccine blunder has had unexpected benefits for Britain's pensions black hole. So what that they spun it as saying, oh, we targeted the wrong strain in the flu vaccine. So a load of vaccinated people died because they'd been given the wrong strain. And
Yeah.
oh, but there's a
And they
benefit.
weren't protected. Yeah.
The good news is we've saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, it's twofold, isn't it? It's not just saving on pensions. When people inherit the money, they're stripped of the inheritance by inheritance tax. So, and also when they've got
And
to
they're
go
going to
into
spend
old,
it.
yeah. And when they go into old, that's what I mean. And when they go into old people's homes, they have to spend the savings before they can get state help. So,
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
they're getting stripped either way.
Yeah, and you know who doesn't have to pay inheritance tax is the royal family.
Yeah.
And you know the
Biggest
explicit
inheritances.
Yeah. And the explicit reason is given for this is to protect the royal family's wealth from erosion. So they're telling us what the purpose of it is for everyone else to erode intergenerational wealth.
But Miri, they bring so much wealth into
I know.
the country. And feel good factor. Think of the feel good factor.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Prince
If you support
Charles.
the royal family, you're off your napper, aren't you? You have to be off your napper. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
Do
but
you know
so.
the sad thing is the whole story is a Disney story, but it is you can see why you get bought into it. You can see that all this tradition and stuff like there is something comforting about all this tradition, whether we like it to admit it or not, and nostalgia and things like that. There's something very comforting, so it's easily just like it, hearing a pop record from whatever 1985 that you liked. It does take you to a bygone world, doesn't it? That seems perfect.
And I mean, there's all this mythical status around the royal family. And when I studied in America, I get asked all the time if I knew the Queen.
Yeah,
Americans are,
just down
you know. Yeah, oh
the road.
yeah. And although I don't like the royal family at all, and I think they're terrible people, I also think that the powers that be do want to abolish them. Because they do stand in the way of a one world government, and they also kind of like you alluded to, give us a sort of sense of national identity. Because one of the first things people know about the UK is, oh, they've got a royal family, the Queen, and the Queen's dead now. So yeah, I don't like them. Terrible institution, but I suspect that once they're abolished, things might get worse. Then we'd have what we'd have President Starmer instead, wouldn't we?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Turn into a Witherspoons Buckingham Palace. That's what I've always said. Turn into
Commissar
a
Starmer.
museum in Witherspoons.
Yeah. Commissar Starmer. Do you know, I was watching something on World War II. A guy's he's got a great channel. It's a conventional channel on about World War II. And what he does is called World War II World Wayfinder. And he goes around these old sites on World War II and holds pictures up. Yeah. And I'll get to my point in a sec. And of the place where these tanks went past and this battle were fought and all that kind of thing. A bit boring, but so if you're not interested in World War II. But what he was saying was that he's noticed since Biden dropped out of the election that his viewing figures have dropped through the floor and he couldn't understand it. He's got quite hundreds of thousands of followers and he couldn't understand it. He did a whole video on it and he couldn't work out why all these things, after the D-Day celebrations, all his videos dropped through the floor. You know, he gets hundreds of thousands of views on his videos and they went down. When he released a video, it'd get hundreds of thousands. Now it's getting 25,000. And he realized that some of his friends who do videos the same are all the same. And what they've worked out is that the nostalgia of World War II celebrating fighting men, they're now Google are demarking those and shadow banning that type of site because of going back to what we're saying about the royal family. And I'm not siding with the royal family, by the way. I think it shows that there are different factions at play here, possibly working together and fighting against each other behind the scenes at any one moment in time. On the big things, they probably agree on, like culling the population or what have you. And on the little things, they're fighting like rats in a sewer.
I agree. They're completely psychopathic, aren't they? So the idea they'd be able to co cooperate and always get on, I think, is ridiculous. So yeah, they certainly agree on culling it, but I think like roughly there seems to be a Zionist faction and a communist faction, and they're kind of constantly at war with each other.
Yeah, and also, yeah, there's the Zionists. And then you go back to, for instance, I'm into genealogy and I've been doing some genealogy on, say Blair, for argument's sake. He's got Frankish ancestry when you take him all the way back, king of the kings of the Franks and Charlemagne and all that. And there's always a line running through some of these people, And it's hard to get a take on. You just said psychotic. We'd call it psychotic. To them, it's pretty normal. And a lot of them are related to serial killers or assassins or something like that as well, which I find intriguing because that means it. Me and Chris were talking last night. If Tony Blair's got, say, a serial killer or an assassin gene running through him, he don't mind killing a million people in Iraq.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. And I think what I understand, they have certain ways of bringing up their children to induce psychopathy in them. And they think that's an advantage because, you know, then you don't have what they see as weaknesses of stuff like compassion and ethics. So, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Done loads of work on that. And we've done boarding schools, basically, surrounded by paedophiles. I mean, that's going to lose a bit of empathy in you, isn't
it? Yeah, Tony Blair had five around him, known paedophiles at two schools that had one-to-one training with him. Yeah, and he apparently escaped all five.
Oh, right. Is that what he says?
Well, no, he didn't say that, but he apparently escaped all five and has never spoken about it, even though he apparently had the most powerful job in Britain.
Right.
Yeah, and Boris Johnson the same. Yeah.
Like you said, Dom, if you go on to become Prime Minister, wouldn't the first thing you do try and get rid of these pedos in boarding schools? But it seems like it's a system that they know works and breeds these socio-psychopaths.
Yeah. And I think going back to the vaccinations, that's just one weapon. And it's got earlier and earlier and earlier in America. They're doing it before the kids are born now, aren't they? Let's face it.
Yeah.
They're doing it when women are pregnant.
Yes. More and more they're doing the whooping cough vaccine, the COVID vaccine.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, everything. They give them the flu. They give them pertussis, COVID. And I think there's another one they give them as well. I can't remember what it was, but they try and batter them with four jabs while they're pregnant.
And they even admit these have never been tested on pregnant women. They say it would be unethical to test them on pregnant women, but not unethical to give them to pregnant women. So.
Yeah. They changed tact, didn't they, halfway through it? They said we weren't going to target pregnant women or kids and give it to pregnant women and kids.
Yeah.
Just within, a matter of months, I think it was.
Yeah.
6 months.
Well, what they did with the dare I say, compartmentalised. Yorkshire people shouldn't say that word, Chris says, compartmentalised.
No, Dom shouldn't say that word.
Oh, I shouldn't say that word. because obviously they targeted the OAPs with the COVID jab, then they brought it down the age groups. And so the argument was saved because it was just the OAPs at first. Mm. The other ones weren't interested.
Same story.
Divide and conquer them all.
Yeah.
Have the shingles jab, get shingles.
Yeah. Shingle stroke monkeypox.
So, I mean, all this comes down to going back to what we were saying earlier about when you said people like conspiracy theorists. We even don't have a good name for ourselves. I know it sounds daft, but we don't, do we? Because we have been labelled. You said it right. Your friends don't talk to you. Or not all your friends, but a lot of friends. We hear this all the time. I mean, me and Chris, we work on our own more or less. I'm not feeling sorry for myself either. I don't feel like I'm missing out at all. But we are cast aside, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. And then we have to network with other oddballs and conspiraloons to build up our network again. But yeah, you do get cast out by the so-called normies. I mean, and it is hard to find a term for us. And I use conspiracy theorists because there's a good quote by a guy called Dave Collum. He said, "I am a conspiracy theorist. I believe that men and women of wealth and power conspire. If you don't think so, you are what is known as an idiot."
I'll carry on using the word term conspiracy theorist then after that.
Yeah.
Thank you, CIA, for giving us that. But Starmer, we were talking about Starmer a couple of years ago, weren't we, Chris? Saying when he gets in, it quite blatantly, obviously, we're being lined up. You can start seeing the signs now, can't you, when you see all this stuff. We actually said Rishi Sunak were going to get in, but Liz Truss got in before him for a week or two. And then he did get in, finally, because you could see the power structure behind him. Why Liz Truss got in, I don't know. That were an odd one. That maybe sometimes it just doesn't work out for the people behind the scenes. So she got in and they outed her within weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, Boris Johnson was another one. He were being lined up. He were presenting, "Have I got news for you?" and things like that. But as I've dug away at the seams, I found out that a guy called Paul Wheeler got him the gig on that. And his wife was called Marina Wheeler.
Oh.
He was the Paul Wheeler was the producer. Marina Wheeler was his wife.
I know that name, but I blanked. But who is
Marina Wheeler now works for Keir Starling.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah. So he's Boris's ex-wife. Now she's a lawyer working on women's rights, I think.
But how can she move from Conservatives to Labour Party? Because they're two totally different parties.
Especially with somebody who's obviously not being looked after by Boris, because he was cheating on them with about 10 women and had various kid children as well on the side, but wants less people on earth.
It's a one-party system. I mean, you could see, what's his name, Sunak stepping himself down while they were putting bloody Starmer and everything on. They were everywhere. We saw it coming, in fact, we talked about it. You could see they were lining up as to be this fascist kind of prime minister, and he's literally done that, hasn't he? He's delivering.
Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, politics are just a waste of time, aren't they? Let's face it. Just a delivery system. Yeah. Delivery system of bad news to everybody. Mm. Yeah. So what are you working on next?
Well, usually what I just do is kind of study the news and see what the big story everyone's talking about is, see what the official line is, and then kind of try and dig a bit and find what the real story is.
Yeah,
reality.
Yeah. And that's not a bad way of looking at it. I mean, freedom of speech is a big one at the moment, isn't it? They're really clamping down on anybody, whether it's... And I don't care... Not I don't care. The riots, whatever that setup was, and all the other stuff that's gone on afterwards, that's been done or used for a reason, hasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the riots were almost as fake as COVID. I mean, there were a few scuffles with the police in big cities, but when aren't there? And you know, if we had a serious problem with far right rioting, then we would have had lots of very severe injuries and deaths. Yeah. And nobody died, and a lot of these riots failed to materialize at all. I don't know if you remember it, a few weeks ago, Kirklees Council sent out this really scaremongering message saying, there's going to be a far-right riot in town. It's going to be terrible. Stay in your homes. Barricade your businesses. You know, it really went over the top. It was just like kind of COVID messaging. You know, there's a terrible threat outside. You must stay at home. You must stay safe. And I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous. So I went down to St. George's Square to find out what was going on. And there was nothing. There was a lot of police around, but not a single far-right extremist of any description.
Apart from Harold Wilson, that statue.
Yeah.
So you say it sounds like they were trying to entice a riot, get a load of people out who were interested in the riot and get them all throwing bricks and stuff.
Absolutely, and I said that to the local council. I wrote them a very strongly worded letter saying you've done exactly this. I said, you advertised this event to every would-be troublemaker in Huddersfield. You know, you were trying to agitate this, and you failed. And you're obviously really annoyed that you failed.
Because on the news, it was Britain's on fire, and, you know, but they just kept showing the same little footage of one guy going up to a couple with a shield and a truncheon. It was just ridiculous, wasn't it? Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, and you can see how powerful propaganda is, because even people who, you know, are quite awake and on our side and stuff in other countries are going, oh, my God, it's terrible what's happening in the UK. You know, the country is on fire and we're here like...
Nothing's happening.
Just tumbleweeds going through. Do you know, the whole setup was about changing laws. Every time something happens, about changing laws. Laws that don't really exist even after they've changed them, to be fair. As we found with the COVID ones, most people that fought them got off and probably got compensation for it as well.
Yeah.
It's happened in Australia, all over the place. I'll tell you what is happening at the moment is that they are trying to, all the people that was against the COVID thing came together, no matter what mindset people were, what religion, colour, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Now they saw that there were actually millions of people that didn't agree with them. Now they're trying to split all them people up and have them fighting each other, which I find is pretty bloody obvious. But unless you can see 360 degrees around, you've got the far right now fighting people of, say, an Asian background. And really, they were joined together, marching in London or what have you, against what happened. And you can see that they're trying to split everybody up. Don't buy it, guy, people. Don't buy it.
Yeah. And they were... The Muslim community were very, very awake, and they you know, were, a lot of them were really onto this. We've got Muslim neighbours, and I produced some leaflets early on calling out COVID as a complete hoax, My neighbours said to me, "Oh, these are great. You know, can we have them to hand out around the mosques?" And they were totally on board. They totally got it. But now these communities have been pitted against each other, as you say. And I said exactly this to my local council. I said, "You are fomenting tensions and divisions that are not there. You know, we live in a well-integrated, you know, friendly society that there is no far-right extremism. There is no Muslim terrorism here. Everybody was fine until you came along and started inventing these troubles to turn people against each other."
Just like the woke stuff, you know. No, nobody nowadays, right, is bothered if there's a gay guy or a whatever. No, nobody cares. You know, not that we don't care about the person. We've got over all that stuff. But now what they do, they're pushing it a bit more out that men can go into the toilet with a 12-year-old girl type of thing. That's that. So they're just trying to poke everybody to a point where we're going, hang on a minute. And then now you're anti-trans or something like that, when in reality, that's just outrageous.
Totally. That they're pushing people way too far, and you're absolutely right. You know, this is or this was a very tolerant liberal society, and nobody had any problem with anyone being gay. But then suddenly this trans thing has appeared, and you know, to the extent that you know, the LGB community wants to separate itself from the T, they're saying, you know, we're not about this. We don't want to go into bathrooms with children of the opposite sex. This is nothing to do with us. But they're all being conflated together.
Yeah, well, somebody was just telling me about, well, 10 minutes ago actually, that somebody they know, their wife woke up, couldn't feel her legs on the other day, right? Anyway, she'd had some sort of heart episode, and she's had every three dart finish going, yeah, and their daughter's turning into Matthew,
Oh, God.
right? 21-year-old, but at her school in her year, three of them are going through it. So from leaving school to now, three of the people in that year, not school, year, are going through a transition.
It's terrible. It's become a social contagion, hasn't it? It's very fashionable, and apparently on certain websites like Tumblr and TikTok, it's become a big trend. But I think also more than that, it's very important to look at the big crossover with autism.
Yeah.
So people who are on the spectrum are much, much, much more likely to have gender dysphoria, and obviously, there's more and more people on the spectrum than ever. So a lot of the time, these young people really need to be treated, you know, for some neurological damage they've accrued, probably from a vaccine.
Probably from what we were talking about at the beginning.
And not be told they're the opposite sex.
Well, I put it down to, I call it the MMR generation. I mean, I'm 55 now, but our eldest son, mine and Chris's, are 30. And so they were born in the mid-90s. And from 1990 onwards, they were the first generation to have that multi-shot, which is probably round about your generation, isn't it? What, roughly, were you... I won't ask how old he is. It's rude. I'm old-fashioned. But what I'm trying to say is from 1990, or roughly, I think the late 80s when they started introducing the MMR jab, that was the multi-shot. That's where we're seeing. I remember, was she Sarah, Dr. Sarah? I forget what she's called now. The lady that wrote the vaccine book, a big one called Disillusion.
Oh, Suzanne Humphreys.
Suzanne Humphreys, she did a fantastic seminar called Designer Autism. I don't know if you've seen it, and it was a few years ago now. It won't still be on YouTube. I did download it, so I've probably got it somewhere. And she was saying that they were designing people to do certain roles in life, and we look at autism as a downside to life, but obviously they're doing it for a reason, aren't they? You know, there is a eugenics reason why they know this is happening, and they want this type of human. And
Well,
that takes it to a different place, doesn't it?
oh, it does totally. You know, one theory I've heard is it's a war tactic, insofar as if you are at war and you kill someone, you've only taken one person out of action. But if you severely injure them, you take at least three people out of action, because then they'll need round-the-clock care from two other people.
Yeah, they design bullets to do that, don't they? Yeah. If you throw in a severely autistic person into a family, you've destroyed the
You've thrown a
family,
grenade
haven't
into the family, haven't you?
you?
And now some of these children, Chris, are 25 now. I saw one poor lady in the airport with and her husband with a child. Well, they weren't a child, they were more or less an adult. And this child was screaming at the top of its voice. I keep saying child, we're a person, you know, a grown person. And they were having to try and take him on holiday. And so now from the mid-90s, when these kids are getting damaged, now they're adults.
I think you've cheated as well with the autism spectrum, as they call it. I think that's autistic in my mind anyway, and then they'll include it with other people when it's probably something else, because you know, something neurological as well, but not extreme. That's why they use autism. That spectrum kind of,
not the kind of autism that Andrew Wakefield were reporting on.
Exactly, like that guy you saw there. Another thing, Fatty, if you probably don't know.
He calls me Fatty, by the way.
Another thing is, when you were on about the MMR generation, early 90s, which is totally forgotten about now, because we remember, because my son's 30 now, and you were born in 94. The massive fear then of cop deaths was massive, wasn't it? It was absolutely insane. Because I remember terrified. They were blaming it on mattresses, they were blaming it on pillows and everything. But that was when they upped the jabs.
Yes.
But no, it was never brought into question, was it?
No, never, never. But yeah, I think the designer autism lecture that Suzanne Humphreys did, and her book, anybody listening, if you want to learn about vaccines, you need to read her book. It was from basically year dot to about, two people. I think, I forget the other person that wrote it with her. But yeah, it's a must read if you want to learn about vaccines. Yeah, but going back to the trans agenda, I mean, you've got the trans agenda, you've got the climate change agenda, you've got all these agendas now that are going on simultaneously, which are basically like a war footing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're under attack, aren't we, from multiple fronts, physically, culturally, every aspect you can imagine, we're under attack.
Yeah. And I equate it to, let's just say when they invaded Iraq, they bombarded it with the starved people, so they weakened them. They bombed the major arteries, which obviously we've seen that during the COVID jabs where people's arteries have been blocked. They've poisoned the water, which has obviously happened. So on a scale from a human perspective, on a micro scale, we've had all that stuff done to us that they would do if they were invading a country. Broken the communication center, which could be equated to our nervous system, et cetera. And that's why I know we're at war. That's what my senses were tingling when you said in 2019 you realized that something was going to happen soon, and that's what got my senses tingling. That it was exact. We were an equation, if you like, of the Iraq invasion.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the only kind of difference between the Middle East and over here is they tend to do more hard warfare over there, you know, guns and bombs, and they tend to do more soft warfare over here, you know, injections, pills, ventilators. But the end goal is exactly the same.
Yeah. Did you get any real kickback in 2020, 2021 from people around you? Did you get ranted and raved at?
Well, I was quite lucky because by that point I'd been, you know, a quote unquote conspiracy theorist for about 6 or 7 years. I'd married a conspiracy theorist and we'd made friends with a local group of conspiracy theorists. Right. So we were actually quite well provided for. And we connected with a load of people over Facebook, including Claire.
Yeah, yeah. Hiya, Claire, if you're listening. Yeah.
Hi, Claire. So we had a really sociable 2020 and 2021. We were having you know, multiple meetings a week and trying to work out how we could fight back.
I hope you're social distancing.
there was a funny incident actually with the aforementioned Claire. We had a meeting in our house. Claire hadn't confirmed she was coming, so we just thought that she wasn't. And about half an hour into this meeting, there was suddenly a really loud bang on the door. And when we looked through the curtains, we could see flashing blue lights. And we were thinking, oh, my God, you know, they're here. It's happened. We're going to be dragged off to Gulag. But when we opened the door, it was Claire. And the flashing blue lights were because it was Diwali. Someone had put blue lights up on their house.
Right. but it just shows that that's how our mind were working.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought this were it. There were going to be a civil war. I honestly thought that this were going to drag people to a civil war.
Yeah.
My missus got on holiday. I don't know how she managed to go on holiday. She did do the tests and stuff. And we had some friends around. And she was supposed to be self-isolated because she'd been on holiday. And someone knocked on the door. And she she looked out the window, dropped the blind in front of his face and said, "It's the government." And everyone hid. It was an Amazon guy delivering a package. It's the government.
Yeah. Well, there were lines in the sand that I wasn't gonna wear a mask. Sorry, Tom Hanks, if you're listening, you probably won't be listening, but I wasn't gonna wear a mask. I weren't gonna social distance, and I weren't gonna do and have the jab or any of the other nonsense that they were telling us to do.
Or a test.
Yeah, or the test. There were a line where I couldn't have any of. If I stepped over that line, I'd failed.
Well, we'd shouted our mouths off for years anyway, Fai. So if we weren't willing to stand up, you know,
I would have looked, excuse my French, a twat. Yeah. But yeah. But do you know, it was still hard because you went into a shop without a mask on and it was still, I'm sure we've all got a little bit of post-traumatic stress disorder from the amount of tension that it caused within. You know, you used to saying hello there to a neighbour and now they're looking at you sideways because you were out walking, let alone anything else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was terrible how it pitted people against each other. People became genuinely terrified that another person could kill them by walking past them and breathing in their direction. You know, it was absolutely diabolical what they did to us. Me and another local friend actually got thrown out of the National Coal Mining Museum for refusing to wear masks. And we did explain to them, you know, you can't do this. This is illegal. This is illegal disabilities discrimination. Because the Equality Act said, if you self-declare you're exempt from wearing a mask, you're exempt, and no one's allowed to ask you why or deny your exemption or anything. But you know, they were legitimately frightened of us that we could potentially kill other people by not having masks on, and it was just completely
insane,
wasn't it? Because even if you believed, you know, there was this cold virus, even if you believed all the official lines, it said on the mask packet itself, this does not protect from viruses. So
it just poisons you.
Yeah.
I remember going and filling my car up, and she said, "Why haven't you got a mask on?" I said, "No, I don't wear one." She went, "No, you've got to wear a mask." I said, "Well, do you want my money or not?"
Yeah.
She went, "Well, if you're not going to wear a mask, you're going to have to pay from outside." I said, "Well, I'm already inside."
I think that, you know, the one of the worst things, and I think, and they were just doing this to mock us, obviously, was when they opened up the pubs and they said you can go into them and you can have a drink, but as soon as you stand up to go to the loo, you have to put your mask on.
Yeah.
So, and I just remember that putting my head in my hands, seeing people doing it. Like they just robotically stand up and put a mask on
I was working in a pub at that point, Mirette, and I used to look through the door, wait till no one in the toilet was running, and run out again.
But when you stand up, you enter the COVID lair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The best one was when you got a veg delivery or something, the company policy was to leave it outside for an hour.
Chris is a chef, by the way.
I work as a chef, sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't hang around pub toilets.
Sometimes. But they said you had to leave all the delivery outside for an hour so all the green poisonous fumes could drift away. And I would actually say, are we actually really doing this? We're actually doing that. So all the stuff that I need to prep it up for.
Yeah.
And I'd prep the food, cook someone's dinner, and then walk outside and they jump out my way. I'm like, I've just cooked your dinner, you dickhead.
You just need me shepherd's pie.
I know. Oh, God. Anyway, bloody hell.
You worked in an old people. You worked in an old people's home, you know, during the lockdown.
Yeah, I was right. I was right in the midst of it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst thing I think I've told you this stuff. The worst one was I was taking the bin bags out. So it was just me working there. And this is another irony, right? They never asked me who I was, where I worked. I just turned up, went in the back door, cooked food for these 20, 30 old folks. And then these old
I wonder how many of them are alive.
God, I never even thought of that. But the worst thing I saw was coming out the back door, take the bin out, and there was a guy holding his mum's hand clearly through the window. And then when they looked at me, they both snatched their hand back. And I went, "Don't worry about it, it's fine." I thought, you
bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get people to that point where he's an old, frail old woman, and he's got his hand through the window holding her hand. Horrible.
No, it's just it's completely evil what they did. I mean, the terror they invoked and they terrorized people, and that's absolutely what they did. It's just kind of evil, and as we know, no one's really been held to account for any of it.
And no one will. Well, Boris Johnson got apparently dragged into that hearing or whatever it was, and apologized for having a party. But and Matt Hancock,
another mock that was fine. Just mocking us, wasn't it? telling us that, you know, you're not even willing to care or do anything about that.
That year he stepped down, he earned £5 million from various contracts. Right. His wages went up.
Yeah.
Didn't go down.
No, he's done very well out of it. I think, more billionaires got richer than ever during the pandemic, didn't they? And poor people got poorer than ever. So
that's because they were giving money away.
Perfect system.
They'll give him, it's called investing, but they call it giving money away to everybody. I think the guy who owns, what's the laptop company? Anyway, it's called Mark Benioff.
HP.
Salesforce, that. Anyway, all these technology businesses, all their net worths doubled and trebled. And it's just because they've got a foundation. The foundation, tax-free, they've got control of still. A bit like the royal family we're talking about, all that land. It's all probably not owned by them. It's all trust money, all in a trust of some sort. So they won't pay it because it doesn't get passed to anybody, really. They don't own it. They just run it, have use of it.
Yeah.
Where do you think the COVID jib-jab, what do you think the outcome was, Mira? What?
Well, I think there was an uptick in both sudden deaths and sudden and aggressive cancers. And I've seen some of it in my own family. So I had some relatives in Australia, and they're in the early 70s, but they were very fit and active. And the wife got diagnosed with stage 4 aggressive lung cancer. She'd never smoked, and she was dead 4 months from diagnosis. And then the husband died about 6 months later from a sudden heart attack. My dad's best friend, he'd been playing badminton with my dad on a Friday, and on Saturday was found dead in bed, and he had a sudden heart condition called cardiac tamponade, which apparently is really rare generally, but is a known consequence of the vaccine. So that's people I know personally, and then of course everyone we know has some kind of story of someone who died suddenly or got a turbo cancer or had a heart event, and I don't think we've seen the full repercussions yet.
It's amazing they've kept it out of the media.
It's not amazing, is it? It's controlled. So
I mean, it is pretty astonishing, isn't it, when you think about it.
They've probably killed more than in World War One and World War Two together.
Yeah.
If you think about that on its own, and they were massive events, and they've done it silently, in a way.
30 million is the guesstimate, isn't it?
I would say you could times that by 10.
But I don't think it's over, is it? Because it's not stopped, has it? The sudden death thing.
I think it's getting worse. Mm. I actually think it's getting worse, and they knew it were going to get worse. I think the initial people that passed away, I don't want to sound frivolous here, but it were a bonus. I think that the actual plan is long-term sterilised, a bit like the Gates mosquitoes that sterilise the next generation. That is probably what's in these things.
I've got a theory, Mary. I don't know what you think about this, but we're coming up to like 5 years where, therefore, when they compare the, you know, excess deaths on the five-year average, that's going to be over just in time for monkeypox or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they've literally reset it, haven't they? And then...
Yeah.
You know, if saying if there is excess, more excess deaths over the last 5 years around that time, they can then blame it on monkeypox and or whatever shite they're going to dream up. Mpox, sorry, I don't want
another scary end.
Yeah. Well, anything, but you can almost see that's a feasible plan if you're an evil, whatever you are.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think that's feasible? It's feasible. I think.
So, yeah, absolutely. You know, as you said, they're never going to admit it, and another fake pandemic is the perfect scapegoat. It scared people into getting even more injections. And I know a lot of whistleblowers said from the start that we'd really see the uptick in deaths 3 to 5 years in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So if we started giving the injections in 2021, then we would be at the 3 year point now, wouldn't we? So.
Yeah.
From now till 2026-7. And of course, I'm sure you've seen the Deagle predictions.
Yeah. That was before COVID, wasn't it? I saw them before. Yeah. I remember thinking, what the?
population, we were looking into population way before 2020 and realised the replacement rates were way below what they needed to be, even in this country, but in other countries, they dropped through the floor. Japan and China and places like
looked,
that.
I've not looked at that Deagle thing. Is it on track then, that blooming horrible cutting population?
They're probably in front.
I'm not sure. It's gone offline, hasn't it?
And funnily enough.
Yeah, and this was for 2025, so I'm not sure if they're a bit behind schedule. But I think it's, you know, it's key what you said about the population decline, which obviously has been totally engineered since World War II to have, you know, the birth rate collapse almost everywhere. But then that creates a problem, a demographic problem for them at the other end of the life cycle. And in China, they call it the 4-2-1 problem, where you've got four grandparents, two parents, but only one working age child to support them all. So we're moving towards that, where we're going to have this huge generation of economically inactive old people, not enough younger working people to sustain them. So I think what they're doing with these injections is dealing with that problem by ensuring that the older generation dies. So I think ultimately what the purpose of these COVID injections were, it was not to have people, you know, die within a few weeks of receiving them. Obviously, a few people did and they don't care about that. But really the purpose was to reduce lifespan, I think, by increasing aging, because a lot of people have said, if you look at the heavily jabbed, they started to age really quickly. So I think that's what they've done. That's why they're suddenly getting things like cancer, because they're getting age-related diseases that maybe they would have got in their 80s or 90s, but they're now getting them in their 50s or 60s.
And I would say they knew about this mRNA technology, obviously, way before this. So they've got a poisoned group, a population, if you like. However healthy we've been, whatever, sprayed and drinking crap water for much of his life, so we're highly toxic. So they know we're weakened anyway.
Mm.
So they've hit us at a point where this cascades.
Mm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, vaccines are just one in their arsenal of assault, and they've been intensively poisoning us constantly since the end of World War II. And I think when World War II ended, World War III immediately started, but it was a different kind of war. You know, it was a soft genocide instead of a hard genocide. So the water's poisoned, the food, the air, the cookware, you know, everything is about weakening and weakening and weakening, and then bring us to the point where the vaccine can kind of be, you know, the one.
Coup d'etat.
It's good, but also horrible, isn't it, when you realise the whole system's trying to kill you.
The research that we've done in the shows, me and Chris have done, all these people have all got eugenics backgrounds. And they've all got a bloodline. They've all got the several things that run through all of these people. You can't be a eugenicist and hope the population grows and flourishes. It don't work that way. No, and not if there's 10 eugenicists in that group. You know, maybe one of them might have a bit softer, but most of them are going to want to follow the plan through. It's just how it works. And it's interesting that they called the post-war children baby boomers, like there were a massive boom in population, when in reality they were just making up the numbers that had been killed in World War One and World War Two.
Yeah.
They didn't call after World War One baby boomers.
Mm.
Only after World War Two.
That's a good point.
And then they started the generation, whatever, Zs or whatever we're on now, didn't they? And that, ironically, that's the last generation.
I know.
Where does that go?
Exactly. I have thought about that myself. Like, what?
Yeah, zero. If you're going to start on numbers.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we're coming up to an hour now. So do you want to give everybody your contact details? Not your contact details, but your details where they can find you. Give everybody your social security number, everything, bank details, blah, blah, blah. No, where they can find your work.
Yes. So my website is miriaf.co.uk. And then I've got a Substack where you can subscribe to my mailing list. That's miri.substack.com. And then I've also got Informed Consent Matters, and that's informedconsentmatters.co.uk.
Yeah. And how often do you throw a Substack blog out?
Usually about twice a week. And I also do audio files usually the next day.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Have you done any other podcasts lately, Miri? Because I'll be really honest with you, I've never actually listened to you. Dom's talked about me. I've never actually listened to anything of yours.
I did TNT with Rick Munn last Friday, I think.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Yeah. Is your YouTube channel still up, or has that been...
That's gone. It's for severe violations or something.
Yeah. But I listen to them. It's like our stuff on there. I mean, I struggle to put stuff on there. You've got to be really careful what you say, which, like on here, we've got our own platform, so we can talk about what the hell we want. Yeah. But, well, at the moment we can, unless somebody walks in goose-stepping. And... YouTube, you don't even have to say that much now, do you?
No.
Once they've got a mark, once you're marked for death, that's it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I only had about 2,000 followers on there. You think, was is it really worth banning me? But yeah, they did.
Yeah. And I listened to some of your podcasts. I didn't think you were going OTT on, you know, you weren't saying COVID vaccines kill you type of thing on there. You know, that's generally what they turn people off for.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've got people like, say, John Campbell. Freely talking about what heart conditions caused by vaccines. He's got 3 million followers and never gets turned off. How does that work?
I know. It's very strange. Suspicious. Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah. It is strange. Maybe they get too, well, I don't know. A lot of people are suspicious about him, but I don't go down that road, to be honest with you. I'm not even interested about what people do. I can see his actions in 2020 when they're telling people to get jabbed in 2021. I've lost a lot of respect. I don't believe he's a doctor of medicine. He's a doctor of marketing. So I think he was getting people to believe him, right? And I think he's a doctor of video marketing or something like that, or teaching, video teaching. So his doctorate, he's a nurse, in fairness to him, but he's not a doctor of medicine. So I think when he was talking about medical things and he's calling himself doctor, so I think he was misleading personally. Mm. That's my view. But he seems to be wanting some sort of retribution, recovering... turning his back on what he actually said and talking about things that are happening. But then he's suspicious of how he's been let to have a platform with 3 million people on it and get hundreds of thousands of views.
Yeah, I mean, you have to ask questions, don't you? It's like, why was I taken off YouTube when I had a tiny following, really? And certain people are allowed on it with massive followings. And I think, you know, a red herring is sometimes thrown in and saying, oh, but they've been demonetized, which just means they're not allowed adverts on their channel anymore. I never had adverts in the first place, but they're still allowed to broadcast. So then they can just say, well, you know, I'm not making money from YouTube anymore, so please go to my other channel and financially support me there. So when Russell Brand was so-called demonetized from YouTube but didn't have his channel removed, he's actually become phenomenally
famous.
More wealthy.
Yeah,
because now he still has his YouTube channel, and he's just telling people, oh, I've been demonetized, poor multimillionaire me, please go and give me some money over here instead. So yeah, it's worked out well.
People like
what
Mark
happened to his allegations? What happened to his allegations? That just poof, it's gone.
Just petered out, didn't it?
Vanished. Yeah. Mental.
Yeah, but I mean, people like to say Mark Devlin, he had 80,000 followers, I think. Clive DeCarl had about that much, many, I think. I don't know if Clive's still up and running, but he can't say it on YouTube. They sent him a serious legal letter about talking about health stuff. So, I mean, do you know the way I look at this, right? You're dealing with a corporate entity. So Google sponsor World Economic Forum, they're owned by all these big corporations. So when you go on there, if you're not talking their language, if somebody came into my house saying, trying to convince my kids to have vaccines or something like that, I'd kick them out.
Mm.
So we can't expect anything any different from this corporate animal.
True.
You know, we can't expect them to want us to be on there.
Mm. True. Absolutely.
Whether it's morally right or not, I don't know. But the problem was, in the early days, it was a free-for-all and you could put on basically what you wanted.
Mm.
And people got used to that.
Yeah.
That was the issue. The lady who was banning people who brought it on, she passed away recently, didn't she? From turbo cancer.
Yeah.
Her son
had died, I think, as well.
Her son, supposedly, I think he commit suicide. I might be wrong there. Found dead in his home, something like that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
She was, and her sister was the wife of the Google guy. I don't know, one of the people that set Google up, and she set up 33andMe. Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. So okay. the Google of DNA testing.
Right.
That's how they set it up as.
Yeah. That's sinister, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Sergey Brin, that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, then. We will leave it there. Thank you very much, Miri, for joining us. Hopefully, we can get you on at some other point as well.
Thank you. It's been fantastic.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you as well. Yeah. Might meet up at some point at some talk. We have been doing talks in Huddersfield, you know.
I have heard about this. I haven't managed to make any, but...
I'll invite you next time. Yeah. Up to the Pennine... It's only at Pennine Manor in Huddersfield. Lots of people turn... I'd say lots. About 120 people come. And
We filled it, didn't we?
Yeah. It's a full day. And normally we get another speaker, and Mark Devlin's been coming up talking about the music industry.
Yeah.
It's like from say 1 o'clock up to about 9 o'clock at night.
That sounds great.
We'll lunch in the middle. Yeah. Okay then. We'll see. Thanks everybody for tuning in. If you're going to join us in part two, join us there. If not, but.
But.